Our next case is number 033963, Prela against the Attorney General. Mr. Parukh.
Parukh, Your Honor.
Parukh.
Thank you. May it please the Court, David Parukh on behalf of Petitioner George Prela. The facts in this case are relatively simple. Mr. Prela is a 41-year-old married ethnic Albanian, his father of four, from Kosovo. He came to the United States. He was briefly detained, was given a credible fear interview, found to have a credible fear of returning, and was then permitted to file a claim for asylum, which claim was heard, was denied, and was affirmed without opinion by the Board of Immigration Appeals, bringing the petition to this court. I'd like to focus at this point on the credible testimony and the documentation of record, because that's what's critical to this court's decision in reviewing this petition for review. We believe that the credible testimony of the petitioner and the documents that were before the immigration judge compel a finding of persecution, and that the judge's failure to do so and the board's affirmance without opinion were an abuse of discretion which this court must correct. Now, we recognize that this court defers to the board and, in this case, since it's an affirmance without opinion, to the opinion of the immigration judge. But you have to look at what's in the record to make that determination and decide whether or not the judge had sufficient grounds to rule as he did or should have ruled the other way. It's our contention that he abused his discretion in finding as he did. There's specific testimony in the record to specific incidents starting in 1989, in 1994, 1995, and later, where Mr. Prela encountered the Serbian police authorities in an adverse situation. Now, the judge found in two of those cases that what we were talking about were weapons concerns, and those were legitimate findings by the Serbian police, and as a consequence could not be grounds for persecution. Unfortunately, the Department of State country conditions reports, as well as Amnesty International reports, all of which are in the record, indicate rather clearly that there were selective enforcement of the gun laws, as it were, and that these situations were used by the Serbian police authorities as means of harassing and persecuting the ethnic Albanians against whom they were enforced. And in fact, in many instances, the Serbian police encouraged the local Serbs to arm themselves with the same kinds of weapons that they were allegedly taking away or searching the Albanians for. This is an ethnic Albanian in Kosovo. There were stops and police visits to Mr. Prela and his family.
Counsel, when was this, as you suggest, selective enforcement employed by the Serbian police against him? What date, what time
frame? Well, in the particular case here, in 1989 and 1994, were the two particular instances where his testimony was that in the one instance, he did possess a weapon and he turned it over. And in 1994, the pretext for the home invasion of the Serbian police was a weapons search of the house in which he was living. He also testified to situations where he was stopped by the Serbian police, and in fact, those were circumstances and situations where, because he was an ethnic Albanian, he was subject to these stops. was subject to these harassments, extortions. And in fact, there is case law from this circuit and from other circuits that where a penalty for a minor infraction is out of proportion to the activity undertaken. The Lynn case, the Zazichin case, and the Balazotsky case cited in the briefs all go to the fact that you can have activity such as an extortion and such as an out-of-proportion response being persecution rather than legitimate police work. I think we have to understand in all of this, and the Balazaki case from this circuit says very clearly, you have to put things in context. And one of the contexts that you have to look at are the Department of State country conditions reports from 1990 and 1993, 1994, 1996, 1998, many of which are in the record or excerpts are in the record. And all of those indicate that this was a time of the ethnic cleansing, the precursor to and then the actual ethnic cleansing. These were times when ethnic Albanians were being persecuted by the Serb minority in control. And these were times when, as a consequence, when you put these facts in context, when you look at what was happening in the community and then to this individual, you can conclude that there is, in fact, persecution going on. Why aren't there more instances? Frankly, this guy was lucky. He was working a lot of the time in Switzerland on temporary work contracts, so he wasn't there to experience that kind of sustained persecution. He got the bits and pieces of the persecution while he was there. Now, we have that. We have that put in context by the State Department and Amnesty International. What do we then say? Well, my gracious. The immigration judge said, well, we just had a few instances of legitimate police work and with civil strife. Your Honor, to call what was going on in Kosovo at that time merely civil strife would be very much akin to calling what was going on in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and the 1940s merely civil strife. It was a whole lot more than that. And the fact that the immigration judge didn't recognize that is seriously troubling. The fact that the Board of Immigration Appeals did not thereafter do something about that is seriously troubling.
Does it make any difference that the situation on the ground has changed now?
Well, Your Honor, certainly there is an issue as to whether or not the circumstances on the ground have changed. Has Milosevic lost power? Yes, that's true. But going to the point of future persecution versus past persecution, which gave rise, I suggest, to a presumption of future persecution, the country conditions now still are conditions which are troublesome to this individual. And here's why. First, the legal relationship of the province of Kosovo to the Serbian Republic is still legally its part. We know that. The State Department says that, and in fact the immigration judge said that when he was deciding where he was going to deport this gentleman. Secondly, the finding that there would be a change in country conditions ignores the other half of the testimony about fear of future persecution, which is that because he had a Serbian mother, because he was not as supportive of the KLA as the KLA wanted him to be, and because he was required to visit the Serb police on various occasions when he was leaving and coming from Switzerland, he was perceived to be a Serb collaborator. And consequently, he's in trouble with the ethnic Albanians who are left, and there's documentation in the record to the fact that ethnic Albanians who are perceived as moderate or collaborators are certainly in trouble. In fact, many of them have been killed. That evidence is of record, and that was not considered by the board or by the immigration judge in making its determination.
But that's not state action, though, is it? That's by individual Serbs?
Well, Your Honor, if we are dealing with If we're, I think what you're saying is by individual ethnic Albanians against Serbs,
right.
And the fact of the matter is, if there are groups which the country is unwilling or unable to protect the individual from, that puts you in a position where asylum is warranted. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. We'll hear now from Mr. Potter.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. First of all, please excuse my voice. I've got a slight cold, and I've been struggling with it all week.
Just stand back, and you'll be forgiven.
Okay. I sure will, Your Honor. Jonathan Potter for the Attorney General. The immigration judge's determination in this case, and also the board's determination in this case, can only be overturned if this court is compelled to find a contrary conclusion. And under the facts of this case, this court cannot be so compelled. Let's look at what Mr. Prela testified to. He testified about four events that he perceived were persecution. 1989, he shoots himself in the hand with a weapon. The Serbian police find out he has a weapon, and they take it from him. What did he say at that time? His persecution was he was maltreated. Did he describe that maltreatment? Not one bit. It was just, they maltreated me. Let's go to 1994. Excuse me. He's in Kosovo at Christmas. He's a Christian, unlike most of the Albanians that were being ethnically cleansed who were Muslim. He's a Christian. He's celebrating Christmas with his family. The Serbian police believe that they may have guns in the house. They arrest the brother and Mr. Prela. The next day, they release Mr. Prela and his brother after the mother pays a bribe. While this may be illegal police activity, this is not persecution. It was just a shakedown. The third instance, Mr. Prela returns to Kosovo with Swiss tags on his car. The police stop him. He says they play good cop, bad cop. They mistreat me. And when asked about the mistreatment, he says one of them hit me on my hands. That's not persecution. That doesn't rise near to the level of persecution. The final instance is he's in Switzerland. He's not even in Kosovo. And he's claiming that two parties, either, we're not even sure if who they are, but Albanians are attempting to recruit him to fight in Kosovo, and possibly Serbians are attempting to recruit him to fight in Kosovo, and they threaten him. Is there anything after these threats? No. Those are the four instances, and Mr. Prela claims that this is persecution. Your Honor, you asked a question about can we look at today if things have changed, and in fact, this circuit has said you can take judicial notice of changed country conditions. And if you would do that in this case, and we invite that, it would give glowing reports. The latest State Department report is glowing about the situation in Kosovo. So, in sum, nothing compels this court a different conclusion.
Is the term glowing yours, or is it the...
That's mine, Your Honor.
Yeah.
But it is very favorable country report currently. And that is my term, though. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
One other thing I want to make clear is that the board also... This isn't your normal streamline case, because they made a finding that the immigration judge relied simply on future persecution. That seemed to be his concern. And in this case, the board said, in addition to the reasons set forth by the immigration judge, we also find that the harm experienced by the respondent, Prela, did not rise to the level of past persecution or torture. So they said that he, in fact, had not been persecuted or tortured. So this is not your normal no-opinion streamlining case. The Attorney General does not believe the evidence compels a different conclusion in this case. Subject to any questions?
Thank you very much, Mr. Potter.
Thank you.
You have 1 minute, sir.
Your Honor, in rebuttal, very briefly, The incidents that were described in the testimony and in the statement are incidents which occurred in a context of repression that has been documented and is documented in the record. I note to the court, this court's decision, I believe, in the Balazowski case in February 11, 1991, where the court says, usually we only have the person's testimony. We have to kind of guess what the context is. And we're judges. We're not experts. In this case, the court actually has a lot of that background documentation in the record, the context in which you can put this. I tried to do that in the argument first to indicate to you that these incidents, while they would appear in some instances to be minor in themselves, were not minor because they are in a context of repression, in an environment of repression, and in a situation where these are reminders of what we can do to you. I hope that the court will consider that in making its decision. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. The court has finished the call of the morning, and therefore we will rise until 9:30 tomorrow morning.